Well, welcome again to Vertical Church Milwaukee. My name is Jesse, and I'm the lead pastor here. And again, hi guys. I'm so glad that you guys have chosen to worship with us this morning. And it is a joy to be here. And I was just before the service, we get together and we spend time praying with our leadership team and the people who are, you know, helping serve. And, I was just encouraging them. Easter Sunday should and is a special Sunday always. Because it is the resurrection Sunday where we remember. But our goal every Sunday morning is for us to be able to get to that place. Because every Sunday morning, Christ is risen. He has defeated death for all eternity. And so we want to continue to grow this and build this so that this is a celebration every Sunday. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen, amen. But I'm glad you're here. I want to be able to connect with you in a couple ways. If you're visiting with us, again, thank you for coming. And we have a couple ways to connect. The first way to connect is we have our connection folder that Melissa's already starting to fill out right down here. It is on your right-hand side. It's really hard for a dyslexic person to think backwards because he already thinks backwards and then has to flip around again. But it's on your right-hand side. And this is a way for us to be able to, one, know you were here, but two, we want to be praying for you specifically. We want to know what God is doing in your life and what's happening. And so if you could just fill that out and then put a prayer request on there, and that goes out to our prayer team, and we pray over those every week. And it's so fun to see what God is doing through these prayer requests. And so I just want to encourage you, fill that out, put some prayer requests in there so we can connect with you that way. The next way, if you are visiting right after service, my wife and I will be right out at our connection table. I want to be able to give you a gift and talk to you and answer any questions that you might have. And so if you're on your way out, make sure you stop by there. And then lastly is we have a connection class. It's an hour and a half. Where we just tell you a little bit about who we are as a church, answer any questions that you might have, and just get to know each other a little bit better. The next one coming up is May 5th from 3 to 4:30 at our house, and you can sign up online as well. But along with that, there, you know, a lot of you are here and you're just kind of like, what is this church plant? What are they doing? And, you know, we are. God is moving in this city. God is moving in this church. And, you know, we want to continue to build what he is doing. And so, you know, if you're here and you're like, you know, this is something that I might be interested in, we would love for you to get to know us a little bit. And so other than Sunday mornings, a couple ways to get to know us. One, we have small groups, Wednesday and Thursday nights. And that's just, you know, we don't believe that the church stops Sunday morning. Church is something, it's us all throughout the week, and we need to be together on a regular basis, communing with one another. And so, you know, we do that Wednesdays and Thursdays. And if you're interested and want to see what that looks like, you can find that information online. The second way is this summer, we're starting this thing called Second Chapter. We're doing it several times throughout the summer. And that's just an opportunity for us to come together. It'll be at our house. We have dinner together, do a little bit of worship together, pray together, share scripture with one another. And just a real neat way to build community with one another. And so if you're interested, the next one of those would be May 19th. And then we also believe in serving one another. The community of this church has been built around serving. You know, this hasn't happened because one or two people came and started it. No, because a whole group of people serve every Sunday morning. And serving alongside of one another is one of the greatest ways to get to know one another. And so we're starting to move outside of our doors. You know, we've established a Sunday morning, and now we're going to start serving in our city. And our first opportunity is going to be June 8th, and we're going to be serving down at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. And that's just a great opportunity to come together with one another, serve our city, and to be able to get to know one another through serving. So if you're interested in any of those things, like, you know what, I would like to get to know people better, do one of these things and just get involved and get to know us a little bit better. But again, I'm glad you're here. We're going to take our offering now. The guys are going to come down. I'm going to pray for that. But after the offering, I'm going to jump in and start preaching right away. But if you don't have a Bible, every Sunday morning we open up, we preach from the Bible. I can be really clever and funny, but that doesn't change anything. This is what changes us. Okay, this is what we believe. Every sermon you hear will come right from that. If you don't have a Bible and you would like a Bible, Steve, our good-looking Steve over here, right, Kelly? He's a good-looking. Where are you, Kelly? He's good-looking, right, Kelly? Our good-looking Steve over here, he will have some Bibles around. And if you need a Bible, just raise your hand and he'll bring it to you. And that's yours to keep, to mark up, to take notes in, to read. And hopefully by the end of the year, it's all nice and worn because you've been using it so much. But let me pray and then we'll get started. God, we come before you. Lord, we we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. God, we thank you for Easter Sunday, where we can put a special emphasis on the fact that, God, you got up and walked out of the grave. And God, we hear that so often that it becomes just normal. But God, it should blow our minds every time we hear it. And God, we're so thankful that we get to be a part of that, Lord. And I pray, even as we open up your word today, as we look at scripture, talking about your resurrection, God, make it afresh, make it anew in our soul, Lord. And God, we pray as we give of our tithes and our offerings this morning, God, use them for your glory. God, allow it to impact this church and this city. And Lord, that we would see your mission go forth. And God, as we open up your word, Lord, I pray that you would not be lessened by this preacher at all, Lord, but it would just be your word spoken. And God, the cross lifted high. And God, we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are starting a new series today. We're starting a new series called All Things New. And, you know, all things new. We like a lot of new things. I'm going to get into that in a second. But this is a series that we're going to start to go in. We're talking about new life this Sunday. But from now in the next five Sundays, we're going to be looking at the different things that Jesus makes new. And now, Jesus tells John in Revelation, he says, behold, I love this passage. This should be underlined, highlighted, written on your bathroom wall. It says, behold, I am making all things new. And that sounds good, you know, because I like new things. I like a new cup of coffee. Man, well, you finish that last cup of coffee and then you get to pour it right back up and you get a new cup of coffee. Yes. I like a new cup of coffee. I like a new car. Actually, right now, I'd rather have a new garage door because I broke my last one. You know, I like it when my favorite bands come out with new CDs. You know, I get to, or new albums. King's Kaleidoscope just came out with one. You should really go listen to it. It's great. You know, I like the fact that the Packers got a new head coach. Mike McCarthy was, I liked him, but he's gone. Good. We got a new head coach. You know, we like new food. We like new raises. We like it when our job gives us raises. We like new phones, yes. We like new things. That's normal. So when Jesus says, behold, I am making all things new, we're like, yeah, that's great. That's good. But oh, does that miss the point? Oh, does that miss the point? The significance of the statement that Jesus makes should blow our minds. But because we don't take time to consider it, it just seems like a nice little statement. But you see, from Genesis 3 and on, everything has really been the same. A world of broken people desperately trying to be filled, but we just keep leaking out of our cracks. God created us with a desire to be filled by his glory, a desire to be filled by grand things, really divine things, really divinity or the Trinity. God himself was meant to fill us, but that bus is gone because of our sin. The sin that started in Genesis 3, from the bite of a fruit, from a desire to be filled by God that got changed to desire to be God. And from that moment on, everything's been broken. All you have to do is turn on the news and just look around. You know, everyone has a remedy for the newest problem, but that newest problem is really just an old one with a new face on it. But those problems never end up being fixed. That's why we still have gluten-free bread. Humanity hasn't found the answer. The war to end all war has just led to another war. The rise of social justice most of the time just seems to lead to more injustice. A governmental system that's meant to give a voice to the people just fights to keep their own voice. Then there's the accidental and natural disasters. You know, last week, Notre Dame burned, consumed by a fire. Last summer, half of our Western flamed or went up in a fire by accidental campfire. This winter, we were colder than Antarctica. And we had a blizzard in April. And the mosquitoes are getting larger than my smallest child. You see, when you start to look around at our world, it starts to sound a lot like a world that's groaning under sin. No, we're desperately broken. Broken with no hope of being fixed. Go ahead and try, it won't work. The broken cannot fix the broken. No, we need someone who can take the broken cisterns and make them new, filling them with his perfect presence. Someone who understands the foundation of creation to fix our desolation and fill it with his glory. We need someone who's never been broken to be broken on our behalf. Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." New life because this life isn't working. A new covenant because we can't figure out our own salvation. New power because we desire power, but really we're powerless. A new community because we're never meant to be alone. And a new hope because every hope that we've ever found has never worked. Oh, yes. You see, we are starting to understand the significance of this statement of all things new. But where did this new thing get its start? Well, it started in an empty grave, where death was defeated and new life succeeded. At dawn on the first day, the first Easter, Luke tells us in chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of a sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And now was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary and the mother of James and the other woman with them, who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe. But Peter, I like Peter. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping in, looking in, and saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. See, the first thing that we're looking at very specifically today is the fact that Jesus brings new life. Why? Because it's Resurrection Sunday. Because this is where new life started. And if we want to understand what new life is, we have to look at the story of Jesus. We have to look at the one person who died and didn't stay dead. And in Luke chapter 24, he shows us what it means to go after and find the Jesus who is living and alive. But how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, the first thing that we see from this passage is that we cannot find new life among the dead. We can't find new life among the dead. We have to stop looking there. You see, Jesus had died 3 days ago. We celebrated that on a Good Friday right here. It's such a good time. We went back and looked at Isaiah 53, and we remembered Jesus being put up on the cross. And now these women, they were going to the tomb to kind of have a last respects for Jesus. And when they got there, it wasn't like what they expected. You see, they were bringing these spices to Jesus because when they put Jesus up on the cross and they took him down, they had to bury him fairly quickly because it was the Sabbath, because they couldn't do these things after a certain time. And so they probably didn't bury him quite right. And so these women were going to do the proper job, and they were mourning and kind of, you know, coming to the end. They thought that Jesus was their savior who was going to take over and rule the nation of Israel and free them from the slavery of the Romans. But when they got there, it wasn't quite what they thought. The massive stone had been rolled away. And, you know, you could probably imagine as they're walking up there, the first thing they think is, "Oh, great, we don't have to roll that stone away anymore." And the second thing they're thinking is, "Why is the stone rolled away?" As they walk up to the tomb, they go inside and it's empty. Jesus isn't there. They just see his lying clothes on the ground. And then boom, two men show up. Not bedazzling, not 13-year-old girl angels, but dazzling angels, white and bright, filling the tomb. And man, these ladies were terrified. These ladies were terrified, and these angels stand there and they say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And let me tell you, if there's ever been a time for fireworks to go off and the greatest soundtrack of all time to start playing and to go, that's the moment. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Can you imagine like these just the emotions going through these ladies and trying to figure out what exactly is just happening? He is risen. He's not here. He told you this. You remember back in Galilee? He told you this. And then they started to remember. But you know what? A lot of times we're just like these women. A lot of times we're just like these women. We see that something's wrong. It doesn't take much self-reflection to start to understand the things that we are doing personally and the things that we are doing throughout our world and our culture, that it's not working. We're missing something. And so we go and we look for salvation, but we look for salvation among the dead. We understand we are called to be filled, but we fill it with all the wrong things. We want to be saved from boredom, and so we start looking for salvation from our hobbies and from our vacations. We want to be saved from want and insecurity, and so we turn to the salvation of our job and our benefits. We want to be saved from insignificance. And so we find salvation from those things through the things that we think will grant us success and make us look powerful. We want to be saved from loneliness, and so we turn to our social groups and our families. We want to be saved from the life that we have, so we turn to our own personal curated life of our social media and the life away from real life in our books and our games. You see, we understand that there is something missing and we go looking for it all the time, but we go looking for it among the dead. Just like these women want to look for Jesus, their Savior, in a tomb, we go and look in the tomb of this world. Because anything that we find in this world to satisfy the desires of our heart are going to die. Everything is broken. Everything. And anytime we go and try to be filled by something that's not Jesus, it's not going to completely fulfill and just going to leave you like a walking dead person. So I have this stupid obsession with zombies in our culture today. But we do. We go looking for salvation among the dead. We need to stop. Jesus died and rose. He got up and walked out. You see, that desire that God has given you is an eternal desire. That desire that God has given you is something Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that God has put eternity in every man's heart. Why? Because God wants us to desire him and he is eternal. And so anything that doesn't satisfy that is dead. Just keep trying. It won't satisfy. And so we have to stop. If we are going to find this new life, it's not going to be in the land of the dead. We have to stop looking for new life among the dead. And I love Peter. The women come back and they go and tell everybody in the upper room. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And they start telling people and they think they're just kind of telling a fairy tale. But Peter, and we know from the Gospel of John as well, their interest has peaked. And they take off and they go running. They run right to the tomb. And Peter sticks his head in there. And John ran and kind of stopped and looked. But Peter, no way. Poof, ran right in and he saw. He's like, all right, it is gone. And he says that he marveled at these things, at what had happened, but he didn't quite know what to do. And a lot of times that's true with us as well. We are just like Peter. We start to see, you're like, you're right. You're right. We can't find that. We understand that Jesus is or might be real, but what do we do? Well, he's the second thing is a new life is put on full display in the person of Jesus. New life is put on full display in the person of Jesus. That's our second point. Now, I'm going to skip over the road to Emmaus, okay? If we wanted to be here for another hour and a half, I could preach through this. So if you guys want to stick around, let me know. I'll finish this up. But then go back and read the road to Emmaus. It's a great story, and it fits into this. But we're going to jump to the next section in verse 36 when Jesus shows up to all the disciples. And it says, as they were talking about these things, so what had happened, you know, the women came back and gave their account, and, you know, Peter and John went and saw the empty tomb, and then these two disciples, we don't know exactly which ones, were walking down the road to Emmaus, and Jesus shows up, and they start talking, and they don't really realize it's Jesus, and Jesus asks them what's going on. They're like, are you the only one who doesn't know? Duh. And then Jesus kind of, could you just imagine being Jesus at this point, understanding everything and no one really understanding anything? And, you know, so they go and they tell him the story, and then Jesus goes back and tells them everything from the beginning. And then finally at the end of their dinner, he reveals he's Jesus, and then he's gone. Okay, now they're all together back up in the upper room and they're trying to figure out what's going on. It says, as they were talking about these things, and this wasn't just like a normal small conversation like this was. We have absolutely no idea what's going on. Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he said these things, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day raise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses to these things. You see, new life was put on full display in the person of Jesus. Now, this might be one of my favorite passages of all scripture. There's a few out there that I might argue, but this is like definitely top five. And you can just see Jesus kind of smirking throughout this whole thing. Because they're all sitting in the upper room trying to figure out what to do and what is going on. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up. And we all have that friend where all of a sudden he just like pops out of nowhere. Yeah, that's not Jesus. This is way more miraculous than that. But all of a sudden, Jesus is just there. He's like, peace. Can you imagine that? Like, yeah, this is great. I love it. I don't really know if that's how he did it. But Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be to you. And they were startled. They freaked out. Why? They thought he was a ghost. They thought he was a spirit. Like, just think about this. They saw this guy die 3 days ago. And it wasn't just a normal death. They saw this guy beaten and bruised and put on the cross. And then they buried him. And then there he was, standing in front of them. Whoa. Man, no kidding, they freaked out and thought he was a ghost. Jesus is just kind of smiling. You just know it. He says, why are you troubled? Duh, you should have known this. I told you these things ahead of time. But you know what? We would probably be just the same way. See my hands See my feet. He starts to go and he puts himself on full display physically. Okay. He starts to show himself. Look at me. Okay. You see my hands and my feet. You see my flesh. Touch me. Okay. I'm real. I'm right here. I'm not a ghost. And then as they touched him and started to see his hands and his feet, and they started to get this kind of sense of joy. And then this is like the most Wisconsin thing for Jesus to do. Okay. I'm just going to tell you this right now. He asked for something to eat and they gave him fish. Okay, it was Sunday, not Friday, but whatever. You know, but they gave him fish. Okay, and it wasn't, you know, it was, this is broiled. Fish has gotten better over the years. But they gave him fish to eat, and he ate it. Why? Because a ghost doesn't eat. And he starts showing himself physically. Look at, I am real. I raised from the dead. I am not a spirit. This is what new life looks like. He shows himself physically. And then he shows himself through his own testimony. He says, these words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. He's like, do you remember all the things that I prophesied? Do you remember all the things that I told you? He says, I told you that I would suffer and die under the religious leaders. He said, I told you I would die by crucifixion. I didn't hide this from you. He says, I told you that Peter would deny me 3 times and then a rooster would crow. Like, you can't get much more specific than that. I guess there were a lot of roosters in that time. Maybe you could. I don't know. But he says a rooster would crow. And then he said that he would raise again on the 3rd day, all before he ever went to the cross. He said, listen to my testimony. Okay, not only look at me physically, but my testimony. I told you these things would happen. But not only my testimony, but also through the testimony of the Old Testament. He says, look at, he says, I still with you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms must be fulfilled. I told you this, remember? You see, what Jesus is doing is he's putting himself on full display, showing all of these things to show that he is Jesus, and everything that was going to be done to the resurrected Savior happened. And when he said it is finished on the cross, and then 3 days later walked out of the grave, all of that was taken care of. It's like, this is real, people. This is real. Test it. See it. New life is put on full display in Jesus, and Jesus is telling his disciples to test it. I hate buying things untested. I buy things online all the time. I use Facebook Marketplace. Like 97% of my purchases come off of Facebook Marketplace, and then I take them home and fix them up. But when I go on there, and they have like 1 or 2-ish pictures, and their description's like 1 point long, and it's kind of blurry. It's like, I'm not going to buy from you. What a joke. But if you go on there, and there's 12 pictures inside and outside, there's a great description. I bought it here. This is my receipt from why I had this. And this is, I'm like, all right, this is somebody I want to work with. Okay, I know that this person, I want to see that they've done a good job. I'm going to test it. I want to know. And that's what Jesus is doing. He said, come test it. Come test this new life. I am putting it on full display. The very things that the Old Testament has been talked about, you can see that's fulfilled in me. Look at the very things that I've said. Test it. Look at me. I'm right here. You can test it. But the same is true with us. God is still, and Jesus is still putting himself on full display for us to test. Jesus is showing us what it means to live a new life and to be a resurrected Savior and to follow a resurrected Savior. He's still putting it on physically. Jesse, Jesus is in heaven now. You're right. I know. Jesus said, Acts 1, one of my favorites. That's probably in my top 5 as well. I'll preach on that one someday again, and it gets really good. But you're right. Jesus is in heaven. He's sitting on the throne. He is ruling. He finished his work and handed his work off to his church. You see, the church is called the body of Christ. Time and time again, the church is God's display of the body of Jesus. We can still see what it looks like to be a resurrected Savior when we come together as the church. We see a bunch of people who love each other unconditionally. It doesn't make any sense. We see a bunch of people who are willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel in this life because they know eternity is coming. It doesn't make sense. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. If you're trying to understand what it looks like to live a life of Jesus and you're trying to figure out what does it even mean to follow Jesus, go hang out with church people. Because it is the physical body of Christ. He allows us to be his display. And if you're trying to figure out what that life looks like, it's in the church. Our love comes from Christ. Our hope comes from Christ. Our peace comes from Christ. Our mission comes from Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we put Jesus on display. If you're here and you're like, man, I don't know, man, just hang out with church people for a little while and see what happens. The second thing he talks about is he's, you know, using his own word. Jesus, when he tells his disciples, check my words, check the things I told you. Okay, you want to see the life of Jesus on display? If you want to see a new life on display, just read through the Gospel of John. Those are Jesus's words. They're telling the story of Jesus. And if you're like, man, I need to see what this new life is all about. I am not able to. My life is falling apart. I cannot figure this out. I need a new life. Go look at the Gospel of John and just read it. Sit down and study it for a month. Take some time to ask questions about it. Interact with it. Why? Because it's Jesus's word. He's sharing his own testimony. He's putting himself on full display. Just go read it. Some of it's going to be like, dude, that's weird. But you know what? Jesus will start to open up your eyes and your heart. And he will start to put himself on display. And you will start to see these things line up. You're like, man, this is different than anything I've ever seen. Why? Because it's the Savior displaying new life. But not only that, but we can also go back and we can, just like the disciples, or Jesus told the disciples, and we can look at all the things that Jesus fulfilled from the Old Testament. The book, the Bible, is an amazing book. There is nothing that comes anywhere close to this book. It's the most historically accurate book of all time. And when you take the modern textual criticism of any book, there's no book that comes even close. And one of these days, I'm going to preach this message on the Bible, because it's phenomenal. Like, when you start to dig into how the Bible became the Bible and how, you know, close we have the Bible to the original manuscripts versus any other book that we have, it doesn't even come close. Like, if we can't take the Bible as historically accurate, then every other history book we have should just be burnt. Okay, test me on that one. Go home and look. Come talk to me afterwards. I'm going to preach on this one someday. But even, like, Isaiah 53. So we took Isaiah 53. And we went through Good Friday. That's what we used for our Good Friday service on Sunday, talking about the man of sorrows. Okay? Isaiah 53, you want to know something? That was written 700 years before the time of Jesus. Okay? 700 years before the time of Jesus. You want to know something else? We have copies of it about 125 years before Jesus was born. We have physical copies of it. Of Isaiah, of the Dead Sea Scrolls, thanks, Mom, of the Dead Sea Scrolls from 125, somewhere between 325 BC and 100 BC, but right around 125, we have physical copies of Isaiah 53. You know what Isaiah 53 is? A prophecy of Jesus. A prophecy of Jesus. It tells us things about Jesus that we know was fulfilled. It talks about the fact that Jesus was despised by his own. You go look at John 1, 10 through 11. Isaiah 53, 4 tells us that he bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Go look at Matthew 8, 14 through 17. You know, 53, 7 through 8, talks that Jesus is like a lamb, and John talks about that in John 1, 29. Like, we have physical, this is just mind-blowing. And you see, this book, there's no way that this book would be the book that it is without a God keeping it all together. And that's why when Jesus goes to the disciples and says, check it, he can stand on that. And the same is true with us. If we want to see the new life put on display in Jesus, just go look at how the whole Bible is leading up to Jesus and his death and resurrection. And we can see that new life. Because we need it. We need new life. And if we're going to be a church full of people who are full of new life, if you are going to be somebody who is full of new life, you need to continually see Jesus putting it on display. You need to test it. You need to see Jesus on display. But then we need to say, yes, Lord. That leads us to the last thing. And that new life can only be found in the death and resurrection of Jesus. New life can only be found in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Then he goes on, look at verse 46, and he says, and he said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day raise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses. You see, Jesus was giving the disciples their marching orders. Here is the message that you preach. You preach the message of my death and resurrection because it is only found in me. You know, like I said earlier in the message, just look around a little bit. Take some time to observe our culture and our world. And it's not okay. The things that we're doing to progress aren't working. We are broken. And we're broken because of sin. That's why the thing he talks about right here is the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Our problem is not that we don't know enough, or is not that we haven't figured this out or that out, or we can't understand gluten or the yawn. Or no, the problem is sin. God created us to be in perfect harmony with him, to live in his glory and be filled by him forever and all eternity. And when Eve and Adam ate that fruit, they broke that relationship. And from every person from that time, we have been broken people that can't be filled by God because of our sin. I'm not that much of a sinner. Come on. I mean, just to hang out at my house for like 15 minutes and you'll realize I'm a sinner.
That's for sure.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, just go ask this. You guys get a personal testimony right here. You can go talk to them after the service. They will tell you a lot. But it doesn't take long. You can see that we're sinners. We have sinned against a holy God. I don't know. Just think about it. Okay, our morals didn't just come from nowhere. Maybe they did. No, they didn't. Mob rule doesn't work. They came from God. And every time we sin against a holy God, and that sin has to be taken care of. And the only way that can be taken care of is through the person of Jesus Christ and the death and resurrection. Because on that cross, Jesus took all of our sin. We talked about this on Friday night, but it was my sin that put Jesus on that cross. When Jesus came, he wasn't dying just to be a good example. No, he was taking my penalty. He was taking my penalty. And then when he was buried in the grave, he was dying the death that I deserve to die. Because if I would try to do it myself, I can't. I'm already a sinner. Everything I get, the death I experience, the wrath that I experience, I deserve. But Jesus didn't. When Jesus came down, he was born a perfect little baby, and he never sinned. And he lived a perfect life. So that when he would die on the cross, he was not dying for himself, but he was dying for Jesse. He was dying for me, and he was dying for you. And you see, death is the consequence of our sin, and we should all deserve that. And it's the one reality that we all face. All of us will die. But then Jesus didn't stay dead. He took our sin and rose from the grave. So that when we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we believe that he took our sin, but I also now believe that I have a hope of eternity. That someday I'm going to walk out of a grave because of Jesus. Because when God looks on me, he no longer sees the sinful life of Jesse. He sees the holy life of Jesus. He sees the perfect life of Jesus. And because of that, I have a hope of eternity. It is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And now I'm bound for glory. See, Romans 6, it's another one of those favorites. I got a lot of favorites. Romans 6:3-5 says this. It says, do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were also baptized therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might walk in the newness of life. You see, that new life is a life of Jesus in us. And it only comes through his death and resurrection. And everything else that you and I are trying right now won't work. Jesus is making all things new. And it starts with a new life. You know, in the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the different things that Jesus makes new. But all of them start with new life. You know, even this morning as you're sitting here, celebrating Jesus, and maybe you're visiting for the first time, maybe you came with a friend, you know, maybe you come every now and then, the big holidays, whatever it might be, but you might be sitting here and you're looking at your life, you're like, man, I am missing something. I keep trying and trying and trying, and it doesn't work. You need a new life. Man, God is moving in you. God is moving in you. He's telling you that you need the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the death and resurrection. That means that we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We confess our sins for the forgiveness of Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Please be my Lord and Savior. And you need Jesus. There is absolutely nothing else that you can do. Because no one else walked out of the grave like Jesus did on his own power. Some of you, others might be sitting here, and you know, you might have been an unbeliever for a long time. You got saved when you were a kid, you got saved in college, you got saved whatever, and you know, you kind of do this Jesus thing on and off, on and off, on and off. But your life is getting harder and harder and harder. And it's like, why? It's because you are looking for salvation among the dead. This reality of Jesus as our Lord and Savior needs to be a reality every day. He is King, and he is King always because of what he has done. And this understanding of Easter and the resurrection of Jesus needs to be a predominant aspect of our life. This new life needs to be continually reigning in our life. And some of you may be here and you're like, you know what, I am not doing well. You need to be reminded of what Christ paid for you on your behalf. And you need to be reminded that you need to turn to Jesus again and again and again. That Christ himself died for you. So I'm going to go to him. I'm done looking in the land of the dead. Christ has put himself on full display for me, and I'm going to go find it. Because new life can only be found in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Man, he walked out of the grave. He walked out of the grave. That's why we celebrate this morning. And we're going to sing a couple more songs. And the band's going to come back down. You guys can start coming down. And while we're singing those songs, I'm going to have a couple... couple of couples, they're going to come down. They're going to be on either side, over here and over here. And if you fall into one of those two camps, where you're like, you know what? I don't know Jesus. I have never given my life to the Lord. I desperately need Jesus. And what I'm doing is not working. During these next two songs, I want you to come down and talk to one of these couples. I want you to come down and tell them, I need Jesus. And they're going to pray with you, and they're going to kind of walk you through what that sounds like. But also if you're in the other camp and you're like, you know, I know I believe Jesus, but man, I have not been living it. I've been looking in the land of the dead. The resurrection has not been a real thing. This new life has not been a real thing. You also need to come down and just confess and have someone pray with you and walk you through and encourage you and say, this moment, I want to take another step in my faith. So they're going to come down now. They'll be on either side. I'm going to pray. And then we have a couple more songs. And you know, if that's you, I want to encourage you to come down. And I want you to encourage you to have that conversation right here, right now. God, we come before you this morning. And God, we thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. God, we thank you that you are making all things new. And Lord, we pray that even this morning, as we are talking about new life, Lord, anybody who's in this building this morning, God, who's been looking for it in all the wrong places, God, just speak to them, move in them, work in their heart. And let them see the new life of Jesus. And God, I pray for anybody who's sitting in here, Lord, that who has known you for a long time, but God, just has not been walking in that way, God. I pray that you, God, just would deepen their conviction of the gospel, deepen their conviction of Jesus, Lord. And God, I pray that you would let us just see that work in their life. God, I pray for the rest of us this morning, Lord, as we come and sing. God, I pray that our worship would be driven by the work that you did on the cross and the defeat you had over the grave. God, I pray that our worship would be a worship of a God that we know and understand because you came down and saved us. God, let it be like a worship like no other. So God, we're thankful for this morning. And God, you get all the praise and glory. Let's sing.